And this is not the title, but I could title tonight, The Imperatives of a Healthy Christian. Last night was about a healthy church. Tonight might be about a healthy Christian. You'll find out more about the title in just a moment. I want us to stand, please, if we could, and we'll read some passages or some verses here from chapter 12. But everybody knows the story of David and Bathsheba. Okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with background tonight. With two preachers, all of us feel a little bit pressured to not abuse your generosity. And I appreciate it. I really do, but I don't want to abuse that. But you know the story of David and Bathsheba. You know that David, in chapter 11, David stayed home when he should have been on the battlefield. Let me tell you something. It's a danger in staying at home when you ought to be out working. And it's a danger to go out when you ought to stay at home. It's hard to know when's the right one to do, especially when you're about 16 to 20. I understand there's time to leave home. There's time to stay home. And so David stayed home when he was supposed to be on the battlefield. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. You all know the story. And then he has her husband killed. God calls it murder, even though he didn't do the killing. But God says he's guilty of murder. And the Bible also says at the end of chapter 11 in verse 27, at the end of verse 27, it says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Right? So God's upset. And so with that backdrop, let's read chapter 12. Let's read 14 verses and we'll see how far we can get with this. The Bible says, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. It just seems appropriate. The Lord sent Nathan. Let's just stop right there for a while. The Lord sent Nathan. Yes, sir. You know, in some churches, and I mean this, I've been in a lot of different kinds of churches, and some I don't ever want to go back. I'm serious. And then some I just melt when I walk in the church. But in some churches, the pastor's almost got a celebrity status, and that's enough to make me sick. There's a certain kind of where well, if I start talking about it, everybody will get mad at me. But you know, who's on the platform are the big wigs. I'll just stop right there. I'm not going to say any more. In some churches, the pastor is so revered that he's feared, and that's dangerous. In some churches, the pastor's everybody's buddy, and that's dangerous. And so you need to find out what is the biblical attitude towards a pastor. And all I'm going to say here for just a moment is, and the Lord sent Nathan. And you ought to thank God for that. You ought to be thankful the Lord sent Nathan. Now that's not the message, but you'll find out in a moment what it is. And it's very closely related. The Bible says the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. All right, who's the little ewe lamb in this story? That's Bathsheba, right? We want to make sure we understand this story. He said this poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. I don't know what to make of that statement. That could be a good statement. That could be a terrible statement. We'll talk about it. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, a man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what we've already enjoyed. Lord, my heart's been stirred and warmed and provoked and challenged and helped, and I sure do thank you for it. I sure would love to be a blessing to Brother Nathan and his family and to this church tonight. God, please, in spite of me, and though I'm weak and frail and nothing, I pray that you'd allow the Holy Ghost to do through me what I can't do, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So before we look at this text tonight, I want us to consider some things that we are not told. We know that David is clearly guilty of adultery. We know he's clearly guilty of murder. We know he's clearly guilty of deceit. But here's the question I want us to consider. Several of them. Number one, does he know how guilty he is? Number two, what has he done about it? Number three, has he made things right with God? And when I say, if he's guilty, what has he done about it? The only thing I can find out that he's done so far is marry the woman. That's all I can find in the text, that so far, if he is guilty, the only thing he's done is marry her. Listen to me. Sin clouds your thinking. One of the worst things about sin is that it will eventually make you unaware of its presence. You understand what I'm telling you? You can get hardened, the Bible says, through the deceitfulness of sin. And if I'm reading 11:27 right, this woman gives him a son. It's almost a year before David does anything about this wicked sin. He's been walking around evidently for almost a year before he's done anything about it. Now this is David, a man after God's own heart. Y'all do know that, don't you? The Bible calls David, and God said it about David, this is a man after my heart. He's a man, he's the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is David. And now, months after the sin, God sends a preacher to his house. And by the way, David didn't get to choose the preacher. He didn't get to choose the preacher's personality. He didn't get to choose the preacher's style. The question I've got for you tonight, and it is basically the title of the message, why God sent David a preacher. I want to talk to you tonight about why God sent David a preacher. My question to you is, why in the world does the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, the author of many of the Psalms, the man who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," needs a pastor? And if he needs one, need I say more? Why did God send David a preacher? Well, I'm going to give you the answer. Number one, because David's conscience had fallen asleep. Look at verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. David doesn't get it. He thinks he's talking to the fella on the other pew. Do y'all get this? Be real careful about coming to church and wondering who the preacher's talking about. It's a real good chance he's talking about you. Now, it is true that God sometimes will speak through your conscience. I'm asking the question, why did God send King David, David the man after God's own heart, David the sweet psalmist of Israel, David the shepherd, David this wonderful man, why did God send him a preacher? Number one, because his conscience had fallen asleep. And yes, God will use your conscience, but the Scripture is clear. Some people have a weak conscience. The Bible is clear. Some people have put away their conscience in 1 Timothy 1. Some people have a seared conscience in 1 Timothy 4. Some people have a defiled conscience in Titus chapter 1. Some people have an evil conscience in Hebrews chapter 10. And so here in this story, David shows little remorse. He shows little concern. And therefore, God sends a preacher to stir him up. And he gets stirred up. I want to say to every man at Spring City Baptist Church, and I mean this with all my heart, you know what you ought to do every now and then? You ought to get mad. You know what you ought to do every now and then? You ought to get upset. You ought to get frustrated. You ought to get hot under the collar. But when you get through getting mad and upset and frustrated, get right. Amen. If you can't get mad, you ain't a man. You need to get mad. You need to get upset. You need to get angry. And then you need to get right. And I'm going to tell you something. I mean this with all my heart. It bothers me if men just come to my church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and just sit there and like a knot on a log and never get anything. I'd rather you getting mad as to get nothing. I'm serious about that. I really feel that way. I believe that's just Bible. I believe that's truth. See, living by your conscience can be dangerous. People say, well, my conscience doesn't bother me. Yeah, right. Well, I don't feel convicted. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, in this story, it looks like that's about the way David felt for about a year. Evidently, his conscience didn't bother him too much. You know, they used to measure things a little bit different. A foot was a foot. If you wanted a foot of something, it's pretty nice if you got a 12-incher. Some people only had a 9-incher. A cubit was 18 inches, but there was a time when it was from the elbow to the fingertips. And some of you would get a whole lot more cloth than I would. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And that's the way the conscience is. Not everybody's is the same. So every now and then, you don't need a conscience, you need a preacher. Amen. And so what happens is, since nobody has the same conscience and everybody's got a different kind of conscience, God just calls a preacher and says, hey, I got a job for you. And he'll call out a Moses, who'll say, thus saith the Lord. He'll call up a Samuel. He'll say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He'll call a Jeremiah who couldn't quit preaching even when he tried. He'll call an Amos to cry out, prepare to meet thy God. He'll call a John out of the wilderness to say, repent, repent, repent. He'll call a Saul of Tarsus that at one time made Christians tremble and raise him up into Paul the Apostle and make Felix tremble. And he'll call up a Nathan to look a brother Mark in the eye and say, thou art the man. Y'all understand what I'm telling you tonight? I'm telling you, the gift of a pastor is a gift from God, according to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you've got a pastor that'll tell you the truth, or even if you've got one that thinks he's telling you the truth, he ain't going to get it right every time. I'd rather somebody tell me the truth and be wrong as to tell me a lie. Amen. And so God raises up preachers and pastors and says, thou art the man. Sometimes preaching gets real personal. He doesn't say, y'all need to hear this. He says, thou art the man. Nathan, I'm not talking to everybody. David, I'm not talking to everybody else. I'm talking to you. It bothers me when somebody says, you're looking right at me when you said that. Like I'm supposed to preach like this? Or like this? Now some of you need to get right. And the angels are going, no, I'm talking to you. Man, I preached for Mike Roberts for 17 years up there in the Cincinnati area. He started a rough church. I've probably told this story before. Man, he got saved out of a rough environment. And he just had some rough characters in his church. And he said one guy come in one day, he said this big old lumberjack looking guy, said he come in and sat pretty close to the front. And he said, I preached my heart out and preached long and hard. And he said that old boy was an old friend of mine, and said when everybody left, he just stuck around. He said, I knew I was in trouble. And he said that big old boy come up to him and said, Brother Mike, I want to ask you a question. When you said thus and thus and this and that, was you talking to me? And Brother Mike told me, he said, man, I was thinking about lying to him right there. And he said, but I couldn't do it. I said, yes, sir, I did. I was talking to you when I said that. He said, Brother Mike, you let me tell you something. Next time you preach to me, you call my name so I'll know it. I'd like a whole church full of that kind of crowd. Man alive, what's wrong with God taking a man of God and sticking his finger in your face because he cares about you and he loves you? Why did God send David a preacher? Because his conscience had fallen asleep. Number two, he had abused the grace of God. Look at verse 7. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Watch it. "I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I'd moreover have given to thee such and such things." That's God saying, "Man, I was good to you. I've been so good to you." You notice the next word in verse 9 is "wherefore." We'll get to that in just a moment. This reminds me of a mom and dad that treat their children so well. But the day comes where they look at them and say, "I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and this is the thanks I get." I wonder how God feels sometimes. "Here's what I did, and this is the best you can do." David was abusing the grace of God. I think of a lot of God's people, Brother Tim alluded to it, people claim to be saved because of whatever, but you never see any fruit. I'm going to tell you all a little secret, and I don't care if you get mad at me or not. I'm getting tired of people saying to me, "Well, you don't know if they're saved or not." Well, I know I don't know if they're saved or not, but they sure ain't acting like it. Right. Right. Amen. "By their fruit you shall know them." Right. People say you ought not to judge. Yeah, you should too. Judge righteous judgment. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. I think it's safer to assume they're lost than it is to assume they're saved. Don't go to church, sit at home watching filthy movies, drinking, cussing, carrying around. I don't know why we would think they're saved just because they claim it. There's an awful lot of people claiming to be saved, never done anything for God, don't go to church, don't do much of anything. They're abusing the grace of God. Paul said in Romans 6, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" The answer is no. David is not just abusing the grace of God, but the goodness of God. You know, if I quote a verse, we probably ought to just run to the altar. We won't, but we should. "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." I mean, just stop and think about what I just said. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If you and I just every now and then would walk into this place and Cornerstone and Bear Trail with an attitude of the goodness of God on our lives, we couldn't possibly sit still. We couldn't possibly just be quiet. We'd have to praise Him and worship Him and love Him and bow before Him and say, "Thank you, God, for being so good to me." And it's just like a parent saying to a kid, "I can't believe the way you're acting after all I've done for you." And I think that's the way God feels sometimes. David's abusing the grace and the goodness of God. God gave David an awful lot of liberty, didn't he? I wonder if David maybe is like a lot of Baptists that believe in eternal security. To a fault. Listen, if you believe eternal security means you can do anything you want to do, you believe it wrong. If you believe in eternal security, that God gave you eternal life forever, no matter what, it ought to make you want to do right, not wrong. Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Paul said, "I've got some liberty, but I can't use it. Not like I want to." My mother, she died at 49. When my daddy died, I was 8. He was 42, left her with 10 kids. She'd babysit. And I was a little boy, but boy, she'd babysit some kids and make me so mad. She had this little girl. I've never forgotten this for some reason. I can see that girl almost in my mind's eye right now. And that was a long time ago. And if I told her to do something, I didn't have any business telling her, but I was a lot older than she was. And I'd try to tell her to do something, and she'd say, "I don't have to." And if I explained it to her, here's what she'd say. "So." And I think sometimes we almost by our actions just scream at God's face, "I don't have to. I'm saved. I don't have to." David was abusing the grace of God. So God sent a preacher to get in his face. We ought to praise the Lord that God sends preachers to people. Listen, to people who have experienced the great grace of God and His goodness, but sort of slipped into a mindset that abuses that grace without even realizing it. You see, I know who I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to some of the best people on the planet. I'm talking to the cream of the crop, the most faithful. But we can slip into that realm of almost forgetting the goodness of God. Almost taking it for granted. Just assuming we're going to get up tomorrow and everything's going to be as good as it was yesterday. We better be careful. That's why God sends a Nathan your way. Sends a pastor your way. You know what Paul said? He said, I thank God for you people in Thessalonica. He said, because when you heard, which means he was preaching it, the word of God, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. You may not like me saying it this way, but your pastor is God's voice to the church. Especially as long as he's preaching that book. Why in the world did God send David a preacher? Number one, his conscience had fallen asleep. Number two, he had abused the grace of God. Number three, he had despised the word of God. Notice verse 9. Look at verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? David literally despised the word of God. And look what it says in verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house because thou hast despised me. People say we don't worship the Bible and they say we make too much of the Bible and all that kind of stuff. But listen to me. How are you going to separate His word from Him? If you despise that book, you despise the God of the book. It's just that simple. He says to David, you despise the word of the Lord. And God said, you've despised me. We need to take serious when we take light the word of God. We need to be serious about when we just sort of slough off what the preacher says. The reason God sent David a preacher is because he's despising the word of God. What in the world does that mean? Doing what he knew better than to do. Doing what he knew better than to do. I wonder how many parents have ever said, now you knew better than that. You reckon any parents here have ever said, now I know you knew better than that. Why in the you knew better? Oh, I wonder if that might be the first 1 million years in heaven. God looking you in the eye and say, I know you knew better because I sent Nathan to your house. You had to know better. And so God sends a pastor to David to say, you knew better than that. Therefore, your sin has found you out. Why does he send David a preacher? His conscience had fallen asleep. He had abused the grace of God. Number three, he despised and ignored the word of God. And number four, he brought reproach on the people of God. Look at verse 14. He gives ammunition to the enemy. It says in verse 14, howbeit because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Keep your finger right there and let me show you something real quick in John 14. I'm going to tell y'all this. Generally speaking, people know if God's real to you. They know if God is real to you. David failed to consider how his sin would affect God's people. He failed to consider how it would affect the enemy of God's people. Because for a little while he forgot that no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. And it doesn't matter if we're just talking about church attendance or what you do at Walmart. You have an effect on this entire church. For good or for bad. I challenged my folks last Sunday, especially the young people. This is rare that this happens in our church. I don't even have it. Most services, I don't even give an invitation. I tell them to go home and do something with it. We had over 70 people in the altar Sunday night. And most of them in their 20s and 30s. Because I told them, I said, when people see you in town If they know you're a member of our church, it ought to make them think more of our church, not less. That's the way it ought to be at Spring City too. And the Bible says in John chapter 14, Jesus Christ is talking. John chapter 14, verse 31. John chapter 14, verse 31. He says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." I'll stop right there. He said, you know why I obey my Father? I want the world to know that I love Him. You know why you ought to obey the Father? So people will know you love Him. It's not hard to figure that out, is it? And so David had brought reproach upon the people of God. You and I need to understand that our failure affects our testimony and the testimony of our church and the testimony of Christianity. David, who loved the cause of God, and he loved the house of God, and he loved the Word of God, and he loved the people of God, had to be shown that with his sin, listen, that you and I are like a bridge between God and some wayward Christian. I told you last night, let's not just win the lost, let's win the saved that have gotten out of church, and they're out there in the world. Let's reach out to them too, because we're a bridge, and God wants to use us as a bridge between Him and that lost sinner, a bridge between Him and that wayward saint, a bridge between Him and that sinful saint that wants to get right. And when we sin, we tear the bridge down. And they can't get to God because the bridge is broken down. And so God had to send David a preacher. Now the next question I want to ask you quickly is, why did He send that particular preacher? Take your Bible, please. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Why did He send Nathan to David? I could ask it this way. Why did He send Jonah to Nineveh? Weren't there other preachers? Why did He send Nehemiah to Jerusalem? Why did He send Paul to Rome? Why did He send Nathan to Spring City? To David. God could have chosen other men to go to David, but He chose Nathan in particular. And I do want to say this before I show you 1 Chronicles. It does matter what church you go to, and it does matter what preacher you go to. It matters. Well, it don't matter where you go, just as long as you go. Baloney, that's dumb. That's like saying it don't matter where you eat. Just go to any restaurant you want to. No, it does matter. Amen. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Look at verse 1. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in the house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in." David said, "Man, I want to build a house for God." And Nathan said, "That's a great idea. Whatever's in your heart, I'm for you." God said, "That ain't a good plan." And said, "Go tell David, that ain't what it's going to be." Why did He send Nathan to David? Because Nathan loved David and cared about David and wanted what was best for David. And Nathan could admit where he was wrong. I don't know what y'all think about pastors and preachers. I can tell you about the two that's preaching to you tonight. We don't just pull out our sugar stick and say, "Boy, I'll show them." We labor and beg, "God, give us the right message." God put this message on my heart days ago, and I never even thought about the fact that it was Nathan until this morning. And I thought, "Lord, that'll work." Now, I preach for a lot of pastors, okay? I do. And there's a lot of them I can't say a whole lot of good about. Did you know there's a lot of pastors that are charlatans? Did you know there's a lot of pastors that are politicians? Did you know that there's a lot of pastors that are, they like to snuggle up next to people. Big names. I put it this way. They're just not real. Now, Spring City, I don't know your pastor that well. My first time here, by the way, was 2006 for Brother Suttle. So I've been coming a while. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have a real pastor than a showboat. I tell the pastor school I have that Baptists have now mastered the art of theatrics. And if a guy can turn somersaults, tell funny stories, do all kinds of weird stuff, everybody loves him. Boy, that's a great preacher. I went to a meeting one time with a bunch of guys, and it was this celebrity preacher that was preaching that night. I kid you not, he preached for 50 minutes to an hour, and everybody left that night, and everybody around me said, man, that was some of the best preaching. That, man, that was great. And I'm thinking, he didn't even preach. He told a bunch of war stories and was mean-spirited. So all I'm going to tell you, Springs, is I do know this about your pastor. He's real. And you ought to thank God for that. I can say a lot of other good things about him, but that's important. You want a man that loves God and loves the people. Why did God choose Nathan to go to David? Because Nathan loved David, and Nathan could admit when Nathan was wrong, and Nathan put the word of God above the word of the king. Didn't matter what King David wanted, Nathan said, let me tell you what God said. Y'all understand this? It's so important. Okay, next question. First question, why did God send David a preacher? Second question, why did he send that particular preacher? Third question, why did that preacher use this particular message? Do y'all understand my question? Why didn't Nathan just walk up to David and say, now David, you know murder's wrong, adultery's wrong, and you're just guilty? Why didn't he just do that? Well, number one, he probably didn't want to die. You just don't talk to the king like that. So that's probably one reason. David could have been impulsive and had him killed. But if it was just a matter of telling him adultery and murder is wrong, listen to me, he knows that. I tell my church all the time, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. I'm just going to try to say it in such a way that you'll do something about it. Most of the time when I preach, I know they already know it. But David used this particular message for a reason. And he brings up this illustration about this little ewe lamb. Now listen, I'm not into theatrics, but sometimes people leave my church more upset with the illustration than the truth of the illustration. I was preaching on live radio at a church. I was the pastor of a church one time. We had a live radio program. And in the middle, I better be careful. I'm from Smith County, home of Al Gore. I was preaching on live radio and I said, I know how some of you are. Some of you say, my mama was a Democrat, and my mama's mama was a Democrat, and her mama was a Democrat. Bless God, I'm a Democrat. I said, I'm so glad your mama wasn't a prostitute. It got quiet. Oh my goodness. But please hear me tonight. I was probably wrong for saying that. I was probably in the flesh, but I was trying to make a point. And sometimes we mess up and we get excited and we might exaggerate a little bit. I'm not for sure that Nathan's not exaggerating. This lamb's like a daughter to this man. Did y'all know there's such a thing as sanctified exaggerations? There it is. You read your Gospels. I'm going to tell you something. God, you tell them if I'm wrong. Jesus exaggerated. It's a lesson in hermeneutics and how to study your Bible. Sometimes he just used hyperbole. He did. Now y'all are looking at me, see? But here's my point. If God sends a preacher to you, and maybe he says it in a way that you didn't like it, pay attention to the point and get over it. Take to heart what he's trying to show you and get over the way he said. Well, he could have said it different. Yeah, and you could have said some things different too. You ever said something to your wife and think, oh, I should have said that different. Or have you ever said nothing and thought later, I should have said something. You ever got the look? Yeah. Well, that's what some of you do to some of us. We see that look. You need to learn to pay attention. Nathan is using this particular message and this particular illustration because he needs David to see something. The reason he uses This sermon is because he forced David to see its sin in its true light. David was a shepherd. And he could get David's heart with that message about a ewe lamb. You see, folks, you need to learn something tonight. It's a truth that I wished I could get everybody to understand. You can see better with your ears than you can with your eyes. God didn't send you a video. He sent you words. And words paint a picture. And words are powerful. And Nathan goes to David and paints a picture for him. And David gets it. Because the preacher's job is to help you see the ugliness and the dirtiness and the awfulness and the danger of your sin. So he's got to paint a picture. He also used this message because David needed to see the need for judgment. Can't just let this go. So David pronounced his own judgment in verse 6. Fourfold. David needed to see this cannot be ignored. Nathan helped him to see it. See, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. And when David got through listening to Nathan, he got it. Because you can see better with your ears. Have you not ever said, "Can't you see what I'm saying?" That's the job of a preacher, to try to help you see what we're saying. So he sent Nathan. And he sent Nathan with this specific message, this specific illustration, to get David's attention. Because David's a shepherd. Alexander McLaren said, "Unconsciousness of evil is not innocence." So I want to ask you a question, church. When Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man," was Nathan being harsh or kind? He was being kind. When he said to David, "Thou art the man," was that hate or was that love? When he said to David, "Thou art the man," was he overstating it or clearly stating it? When he's saying, "Thou art the man," was he trying to tear David down or build David back up? Do you get it? The application is crucial. And so in chapter 2 Samuel 12, 13, we'll wrap it up. 2 Samuel 12, 13. Stop and think about this for a moment. Do you remember what David did when somebody stole a lamb? Or went after a lamb? He killed a lion. He killed a bear. Didn't he? Verse 13. And David said to Nathan, "I've sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin." Man, what did that sound like? God's put away your sin. Thou shalt not die. And I couldn't help but wonder if David didn't think, "Man, I wasn't near that good to that bear. I wasn't near that gracious with that lion. Boy, God has sure been merciful to me. The Lord hath put away my sin." The man after God's own heart, who was a shepherd, needed a shepherd. You ought to thank God for giving you a shepherd. I'm going to tell y'all something, and I'm through. I've been pastoring for 47 years. I've been pastoring the same place for 35 years. And I'm not whining. I got the best church in America. I got the best church in the world. I got the best people in the world. And they practice what I preach better than I do. But would you please hear me? Pastoring can be one of the loneliest jobs in all the world. Did you know there's things I can't tell my wife? I might know something about some lady in the church because her and her husband have come to see me about what she's been doing, but I can't tell my wife because then my wife's going to have a hard time talking to that lady. It's going to be hard for her to do that and not be biased. Did you know sometimes I can't tell any other pastor what I'm going through? Sometimes, I'm telling you, I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. I'm telling you, I wouldn't change jobs with anybody in America. I wouldn't change jobs with any pastor in the world. But he can be very lonely. And the vulnerability that you feel every Monday morning is just like Moses. "God, if I'm going to have to pastor this crowd, kill me right now." Right? That's what Moses said. It's too much for anyone, man. If I know anything about the heart of Paul the Apostle, he said at least five times, "Brethren, pray for us." If I could get Spring City to do anything in the coming years that maybe you haven't done as well as you could, it'd be for you to pray for your pastor. And thank God he sent you a Nathan. Amen. Amen, brother. I'm through.